Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. What do we do when we have disagreements? When we don't see eye to eye? When we are convinced that we are in the right and others are in the wrong? What do we do when we are divided and we can't seem to work things out? I don't think it's too much to say that we are in a moment of some division, nationally speaking, a moment of disagreement, when it seems very difficult for us to find common ground. And to be honest, it's probably not going to get a whole lot better between now and Election Day, just 10 weeks from now. And I think that this division we're experiencing, these disagreements, they seem to run through nearly every area of our life, through friendships and organizations, sometimes even through churches, through our Facebook feeds, and our families. I literally know of children who refuse to talk to their parents because of particular political stands, which is kind of a sad commentary on our state of affairs. I'm sure you saw that this week, the married couple Kellyanne Conway and George Conway, who have very different political leanings. My wife and I have often wondered how exactly they work this out in the household, but both of them took a step back from their public life, their public political life, for the good of their family, for the good of their children. And I thought that was a really wonderful and beautiful and courageous thing to do, for them to put their relationships, their children, their family, their marriage above their political leanings. But still, what should we do? What should we do as Christians, as followers of Jesus, when we have disagreements, when we find ourselves in the midst of division? Well, I suppose we could do what Jesus does to Peter today, right? When they have a disagreement. Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Now, wouldn't that be a great way to win an argument, right? "Get behind me, devil. I'm on God's side. You're not." Now, of course, there's just one small problem with that approach. We're not Jesus. As I've often said, there's only one hero in the Bible, only one person who can claim to be on God's side, to be 100% in the right all the time. And he gave up everything. He died on a cross 2,000 years ago. We are not Jesus. We are not the Savior. And so I think we should be careful about having his kind of personal moral certainty or any kind of self-righteousness whatsoever. Still, even though we are not Jesus, we are followers of Jesus. And I think the question still stands, what does it look like to live and act and speak in his name even in the midst of conflict and division and disagreement? Well, you may not have known this, but Paul's letter to the church in Rome was written right into the middle of a situation very much like ours. Paul wrote to a church divided, to two groups of people who were each convinced that they were right and the other was in the wrong, that they were on God's side and the other was not, that they themselves had a monopoly on God's truth and the others, the other faction, were profoundly mistaken. Now, this dispute was not political, it was religious. But given the degree to which politics have kind of become the religion of our age, I'm not sure that that distinction matters all that much. In the Roman church, there were two sides, each convinced of their own correctness, each unwilling to budge, unwilling to get along or to listen to one another, each convinced that they were the true believers, the keepers of the flame, the ideologically pure. Does that sound at all familiar? Does that resonate a little bit? Well, I think into that context comes today's epistle reading. And if you're wondering, epistle is just a fancy word for letter. So our letter reading, Paul's letter that he wrote to the church in Rome, the Christians in Rome. And here's what Paul says to the Roman Christians in the midst of their divisions. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not be claimed to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. No. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, Paul says a lot in this passage, and it is so good and so helpful. But today, I want to try to distill it all into one word. And that word is empathy. Empathy. Now, what is empathy? Well, it is the ability, the willingness to understand, truly understand someone else, to share their needs and concerns, to feel their feelings even. And again, what does Paul say? Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony. Live peaceably with all. In short, he says, be empathetic. I'm convinced that empathy is, if not the key, then definitely a key to human relationships. It's a key to getting along, even when we disagree. You know, it is so much easier, so much more human to want others to listen to us, to want others to understand us, to agree with us, to vindicate us. But empathy means loving someone else enough to listen, to seek to understand, to walk in their shoes. Empathy requires being humble enough to set aside our own concerns, our own needs, our own desires, so that we can hear and love someone else. Empathy is a kind of act of submission. Submission to another's point of view, another's understanding of the world, another's feelings. Empathy is also, I think, a profound act of faith because it means trusting God enough to set aside our own need to be right, our need to change someone else, our need to justify our own opinions. Empathy means trusting God enough to simply love and leave the rest up to Him. Do you remember the prayer of St. Francis? The one that begins, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Well, it continues, and later on, the prayer goes, O Master, let me not seek as much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. That prayer, the prayer of St. Francis, is all about empathy. And again, I'm convinced that empathy is indispensable in loving human relationships. Indispensable in friendships, in marriages, indispensable for children and for parents. Because when we are able to understand someone else, to understand and feel their feelings and concerns, we find that we're better able to love them. And when we feel understood, when we are heard, we feel loved. Let me say just a couple more things before I wrap up. First, empathy is deeply Christian. It is tied up in the Christian story. Because what happens is, in Jesus Christ, God empathizes with our humanity. In Jesus, God comes to earth to understand us, to feel what we feel, to literally walk in our shoes. In Jesus Christ, God humbles himself to love us, even to die for us. That leads to my next point, which is that empathy is sacrificial. What does Jesus say in today's gospel reading? If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. In our reading from Romans, Paul urges those Christians to sacrifice their own needs, their own wants, their own point of view, their own correctness for the sake of love. To take up their cross of empathy, as Jesus did, in the name of love and reconciliation. Again, what does Paul write? If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We live in a moment of disagreement, a moment of division, a moment where people are not very good at listening to one another, to feeling each other's feelings, to understand each other. But my prayer is that in the weeks and months to come, by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, we would have the faith, the humility, the love to be empathetic, to take up our crosses of sacrificial love and follow Jesus. As Paul says once again, to rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, to live in harmony with one another, and as far as it depends on us, to live peaceably with all. Amen.